This is John Batchelor. This is an excerpt from a long conversation with Jonathan Healy of Oxford University. His new book is The Blazing World, the story of the transformation of an understanding of the relationship between the king, the sovereign, and the parliament in Great Britain in the 17th century, the predicate for what we understand to be the revolutions of the 18th century. Here, Jonathan describes the transformation from Cromwell, who had established order, a Presbyterian order, but after Cromwell's death, there is chaos, and hence the restoration of the king, this time Charles II. And why Charles II is important here is that he gives ground to the Church of England, the official church. That church becomes all-powerful and shoves all the dissenters aside. One of those groups we know is the Pilgrims eventually coming to America. Another of those groups, this is in the 1660s, is the Quakers. And it's a revelation to me because I am the ninth generation of Batchelors here in the colonies. The original, Richard Batchelor, emigrated from Buckinghamshire, a Quaker, in 1661, exactly in this period, driving the Quakers to the colonies. Here's Jonathan Healy to describe.
I think what had happened basically was that the after Cromwell died, as you say, there is this sort of period of a year and a half of political chaos where you have one. You know, the army, you have parliament, you have different factions within parliament, you have different types of parliament. And then eventually it's a faction within the army led by a guy called George Monk, who marches down from Scotland, from Coldstream on the Scottish borders to London. And even, you know, when he gets to London, nobody quite knows which way he's going to go. And eventually it becomes a sort of almost as like a last resort, really, is to say to the exiled Prince Charles or Charles Stuart, come over and form a government. We'll call a parliament. We'll invite you, and that becomes the sort of last attempt to create stability, which is what Cromwell had finally managed to create after 1657. It all fallen apart when he died. So the restoration is, I mean, you know, some people kind of interpret it as a sort of, you know, a return to sort of jollity and everything. But actually, it's more about stability. It's more about getting away from the political chaos of 1659 specifically and early 1660. And then, you know, what comes back with the restoration is when a lot of the old royalists are now in positions of power. It's interesting what they don't restore, and when I talked earlier about the reforms of 1641. So things like, banning ship money, getting rid of the Court of Star Chamber, for example, which is sort of arbitrary absolutist court. A lot of these things actually they stay for the restoration. These reforms are carried forward. And so much so that whereas before the Civil War, something like 40% of English tax came from Parliament. After the Civil War, it was 90%. Right. So it's a huge change in the way that the state is financed. It's become, you know, parliamentary power is still much greater. But the big thing where there is a sort of huge pendulum swing away from the Republic is in religion. And in the 1660s, the Anglican church reasserts itself very, 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 very forcefully, pushing dissenters, Presbyterians, Quakers, who, of course, have sprung up in the 1650s, all the sort of the more radical groups are all pushed to the sidelines. And lots of those end up being imprisoned or migrating away to the Americas.
Thank you.